Luke chapter 8. No, wait a minute. Yeah, Luke chapter 8. We're going to be in start in 22. I want to show you something. I was studying this morning, and it's funny how you can read something and get a whole totally new meaning out of it just by whatever mindset you're in at that time. And verse 22, it says this: "Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, 'Let us cross to the other side of the lake.' They launched out, but as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down to the lake, and they were filled with water, and they were in jeopardy. They came to him and awoke him and said, 'Master, Master, we're perishing.' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased and were calm. And he said to them, 'Where's your faith?'" You know, it's only a matter of time before you have a trial in your life. If you're not in one now, you're going to be coming into one, or you're coming out of one. And what I've learned through my trials is this: the trials are coming either way. You can have faith that Jesus will take you through it, or you can try to handle it on your own. And any time you do the latter, you're going to have an issue with not only your problem, but with how it's solved. These men were, they've been walking with Jesus for a long time, day in and day out. They're still concerned about the waves and the wind, and knowing that he controls it all. And I'm not getting on them, because I'm the same way, absolutely. This is the part that I want you to pay to zone in on, and we're going to pay some close attention to the demon-possessed man that was healed. We've all heard this story forever, right? Anybody here not know the story of the demon-possessed man? All right, we're going to learn it tonight. All right, he said, "Then he sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, opposite of Galilee. And when he stopped, when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time." Underline that. Demons for a long time. "And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, 'You, Jesus, Son of the Most High God, I beg you, do not torment me.' For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound in chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, 'What's your name?' And he said, 'Legion,' because many demons had entered him. And he begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. And now a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountain, so they begged him that he would permit them to enter into them, and he permitted them. And then the demons went out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. When those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then when he went out to see what had happened, they came to Jesus and found him from whom the demons had departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also who had seen it told them by what means he had been demon-possessed and was healed. And the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, and they were seized with great fear. And he got into a boat and returned. And the man from whom the demons departed begged him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, 'Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. And he went out his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Now, like I said, we've read this story a million times. For the most part, most of us have. But I looked at it a whole different way this morning. I want you to look at it a whole different way this afternoon. From a thought process of salvation. Let's read it again. He said, and they sailed to a country in the Gadarenes, opposite of Galilee, and he stepped out of the land on the land, and he met him a certain man from the city who had demons a long time. How many of you had demons a long time? Look how the demons treated him. He said, and he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice he said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I want you to see something in that. Most people don't even believe in God, but the demons know who he is. Immediately knew, and they spoke, please, leave us alone.
They recognized his authority.
That's exactly right. That's right.
That's the first thing I thought. The people walking with him didn't have the faith. What happened to say it, but those people recognized him and they bowed. We should.
Well, how many of you been in church a long time, most of your life, or whatever the case might be, and you heard many messages, yet you didn't respond? This man had been in the tombs with these demons all this time, and he didn't respond to anything until Jesus walked up. And he said, I beg you, do not torment me. So it's like David said, the authority that Jesus had, he could have done anything. He could have cast them out. He could have done anything. And they knew that. For he had commanded an unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had often seized him. And he kept him under guard, bound in chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds that was driven in the demon into the wilderness. How many of you were bound in shackles of all kinds of stuff your whole life, and you may still be today, looking for a way out? I can testify of my life, of the addictions and the things that I had that for a long time I thought were fun. For a long time, I thought were normal. For a long time, I followed people who had the same addictions and the same problems and the same trials. And I used the same logic to not follow Jesus because it was going to ruin all of my fun. He was going to change everything about me. And he's what would you call it? A killjoy God who's just looking for a reason to take away your fun. Nothing could be further from the truth. You see, the demons were telling me all of these things, right? And then he said, what is your name? And they said, Legion, because there are many demons that entered into him. How many of you had many demons? Not just one, not just two, but I had many. And listen, I bowed to them. Didn't want a whole lot to do with Jesus because I thought, I'm having more fun over here. Next thing you know, here's what happens. He says, they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. The demons knew that they didn't want that. I love what Jesus did here. He says, okay, I won't cast you into the abyss. And they said, well, just put us in those hogs over there. And we can live there till we get somebody else, so we can get to somebody else. Hogs always in the Bible represent an unclean animal. He said, just let us go into those hogs. We'll be fine. So Jesus said, okay. knowing all, seeing all, he cast him into the swine, and then he made the swine go into the water. And they drowned either way. But he said, I won't cast you into the water. You can cast yourself in there. And that's where I was many years, for many years. I was casting myself into the same water, drowning daily in a sin that I couldn't do anything with. He said, the demons went out of the man and entered into the swine. They went violently down the hill and they drowned in the lake. And those who fed them saw what happened and they fled and told the whole city and the country. Then they went to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. A notable miracle had been done. And the people of the city were afraid. They were afraid of the man. They were afraid of the one who saved the man. But the demons were gone. What's the first thing that we notice? He was clothed and in his right mind. You know, when you meet Christ and you accept Christ, then everything in your life changes. And it should. Because you shouldn't be the same person anymore. And that's what this is telling us as we walk through it. He wasn't the same guy after that. He was different. And he walked different and he looked different. And everybody was afraid of that. It said that when the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear, and he got into the boat and returned. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you." This is a job of every believer. This is spreading the gospel. Once you're saved, you can't tell somebody how to be saved until you get saved. You can't tell somebody what Jesus can do in your life until you know. When he knew, he told him, he said, "No, you're not going to follow me. You're going to lead your people to Christ." This is what we should all be doing with our families, right, with our friends, with our grandkids and our kids. We should be telling them who Jesus is, and we should be showing them what the change is in us. This man had a definite change. He had a definite miracle in his life, and he had a definite change. And you, if you're saved and you're sitting here, you've had the same thing as well. It's a notable miracle when a man's life is given. He gives his life to Jesus Christ, and there's a notable change in him. And if there's not, then you may not have what you think you have. He said, "Return to your house and tell what great things God has done for you." The first place the man was supposed to go was to his house. You're not ever going to be able to spread the gospel to the world if you can't take it to your own home. You won't ever be able to reach the world if you can't reach your children. They should be your first step as a Christian is making sure that your kids got saved, because it should be important to you. He was lost and now he's found, and he knows what he has. Everything's new, everything's different, and everything's changed. He went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. You see, he didn't just stop at his house. The Bible says we should go into all the world and preach the gospel. And if you should have a heart for that. And the reason you should is because if you have been saved, there should be a notable change in you. I want to know what y'all are talking about later. I'm just playing. That was great. Anyway, this is just a small snippet of this that I studied this morning. When I saw it, I thought, this is the life of a believer unfolding before your very eyes. When you're lost, you have no idea that you're you're surrounded in darkness and you're full of it. You're full of darkness. I remember. And the thing I want you to get from this is this. We don't ever need to get so holy that we don't remember that we were lost one time. And we don't ever need to get so saved that we don't think that we were ever lost. And our goal should be reaching people who have demons. How many of you believe that demons are still real today? You're either serving Jesus or you're serving the king of the demons, which is Satan. So with that, I just want to say, the Bible says, choose you this day who you'll serve. Like I mentioned earlier, Randall's sick, and so what I'd like to do is I'd like to end this in a little bit of a prayer meeting, if you will. I'd like for some man to stand up and pray for our pastor.